This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
A brush with gambling addiction can change your whole perspective. Like whether it's you or a loved one, so many young Australians have told us over the past few years, it wasn't until you saw the addiction firsthand that you started to think differently about what has become a big part of Australian culture, having a punt. Well, one Australian politician is now opening up about a story from his past that he says he cannot forget. G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, you're going to hear from the Liberal MP who says he first came across gambling addiction in school when his teacher came to him asking for money.
Started borrowing some money off me in Year 12, which is a little bit strange. $50 here, $100 there.
The teacher was borrowing money off you.
Yeah, and after we left school, we realised he had a gambling problem.
Yeah, that chat with MP Simon Kennedy is coming up very soon. It's a story worth listening to. Later, are young fans of musical theatre dying out? Well, not just theatre, but ballet, opera. Was Timothy Chalamet right all along? Because we're going to be talking about some big cancellations that have worried some in the arts world. First, though.
This is Hack.
Labor's long-awaited legislation on gambling advertising will be introduced into Parliament this week.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it's the last week of Parliament before the winter break, and as always, we can expect a bit of chaotic energy coming out of Canberra over the next few days. Fights, deals, furious negotiations. And one thing the government is trying to deal with is its contentious gambling reforms package, which it announced the day of the budget when a lot of journalists were distracted. But to get these changes passed, the government's going to need the support of either the Greens or the Coalition. So what is going to happen here? Well, Hack political reporter Evelyn Manfield's been looking into it.
Letting adults have a punt if they want to, but making sure that our children don't see betting ads everywhere they look.
The government is progressing its plans to limit gambling ads, with its proposed laws expected to be introduced into Parliament this week. But we already largely know what the government wants to do.
Between 6am and 8:30pm, we will cap the number of TV ads for betting agencies at a maximum of 3 per hour.
That's the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, outlining his plan earlier this year. It includes banning gambling ads on the radio during school pickup and when you're at a match.
We'll end advertising on jerseys and jumpers and in stadiums.
But the crackdown has copped a lot of backlash because a major parliamentary report 3 years ago recommended a phased-in but ultimately full ban of online gambling ads.
The reality is that this is a milksop and the government has folded.
That's Monique Ryan. She's one of the independents who's not happy.
Putting an arbitrary limit on what time advertisements can be shown. Well, we know that kids watch their footy to the end of the last quarter.
And she's not alone. Here's fellow independent Kate Chaney.
Imagine if we'd stopped at 3 ads per hour for cigarettes. It's still a lot of time to be exposed.
As part of the changes, the government says people must be able to opt out of online gambling ads. But prominent anti-gambling advocate Tim Costello says SBS has had an opt-out feature for a couple of years and it hasn't worked.
About 0.2% have opted out. What the government should have done is said opt in if you want gambling ads.
SBS says it can't say how many people have opted out, but it does promote that feature. Now, this debate is pretty timely because as the Socceroos and others have been playing in the World Cup and attracting heaps of eyeballs, the betting companies have been serving up ads too, and that's frustrating anti-gambling advocates like Tim Costello.
I am disappointed that with the whole of the nation's kids watching last Friday's game, there was an extended Bet 365 segment 10 minutes before the game started.
SBS says as an independent public broadcaster, it accepts all advertisements that comply with relevant laws and regulations. The communications minister who's in charge of this legislation, Annika Wells, says there'll only be minor changes between what the PM announced and what's put before Parliament.
We're keen to legislate it as quickly as we can so that we can make sure that it actually starts on 1 January.
But the government will still need support from others in the Senate to get the bill through. Green Senator Sarah Hanson-Young says her party's open to discussions, but she thinks the bill as it stands isn't good enough.
There's loopholes riddled all the way through it. One of the other key elements that has been left out of this piece of legislation from the Murphy report was the recommendation for a national regulator, and the government hasn't even come at that.
The government could also look to the Liberals for backing.
You're listening to Hack on Triple J.
Evelyn Manfield reporting there from Canberra, and I really want to hear from you on this. You know, we've spoken about reforms in this area when it comes to gambling ads for so long, for many years on Hack, and this week it looks like the government is going to introduce this legislation, these proposed laws. So what do you reckon? Do you support what the government's trying to do here? Do you think it should go further? 0439 757 555. Well, Simon Kennedy is the Liberal member for Cook. He's one of a bunch of coalition MPs who has come out over the past few months saying he thinks these proposed changes are too weak. Like, we even had former Prime Minister John Howard saying the reforms don't go far enough. Simon Kennedy has his own personal story related to gambling addiction, so let's hear it. Simon Kennedy, welcome to Hack.
Thanks for having me.
Do you think we need an outright ban on gambling ads?
Look, I think we need to do more than what this Prime Minister has offered. The Murphy report was far stronger than this legislation the Prime Minister's put forward. Peter Dutton's proposal from 2023 was far stronger than what this Prime Minister's put forward. We need to be doing more to protect children, vulnerable people. Whether that's a ban or not, I'll leave that up to our party room, but these do not go far enough.
Okay, I want to get into some of the detail in a little bit, but first sure. I want to find out a bit more about why you're so passionate about this issue in particular. Like, have you witnessed the impacts of gambling addiction yourself?
I have. It started, I was in year 12. There was a high school teacher, me and a bunch of my mates, a younger bloke who we're all close to, and he started borrowing some money off me in year 12, which is a little bit strange. $50 here, $100 there.
The teacher was borrowing money off you.
Yeah. Yeah, the teacher. And I was, he was close to him. He was close to our whole year. You know, we had a friendship that spanned, you know, well over a decade, maybe 15 years. And after we left school, we realized he had a gambling problem and he fessed up to that to us. I witnessed what problem gambling did to him. I saw it take his livelihood. I saw him lose his super. I saw him lose his car. I saw him lose his job. I watched him end up in a housing commission, lose his teeth, lose his mental health, spiral into addiction. And as part of supporting him, I actually attended GA meetings, Gamblers Anonymous meetings, and I met a number of other victims. Men with great jobs, young women looking after families, some of them who went to jail because they had to steal from their employers to feed their addiction, saw families break down, marriages end with trust. So I've seen this firsthand. And then I started advocating for it and meeting gambling advocate victims. And then I remember a family vividly who I was introduced to hearing from the sister and the parents of a young man who had a very bad gambling addiction, and they were reading a letter from him. And the letter was talking about this young man walking along a beach with his dog and his girlfriend, and he was saying he couldn't even enjoy that moment without checking the odds or looking at his phone. He was talking about the shame and self-loathing from that, and that his gambling losses had meant his mother was having to work a second job. He was talking about how guilty he felt, how shameful he felt, how disappointed and how much despair he had. And then he goes on to talk about that's why he wanted to kill himself. And that day he did kill himself. And you see these poor people who are trapped. There's stories littered like that in Australia. We have the highest gambling losses in the world. This is an industry that only does well when Australians lose. And the better this industry does, the more Australians lose. It's zero sum. And what does that mean? We've got the highest gambling losses in the world. That means our government's doing the worst job of protecting Australians from loss.
That story of your teacher is really concerning, I mean, and upsetting. And it sounded like you knew him long after you left school. Is that right? And his issue with gambling continued for years after?
Absolutely. It took everything from him.
He tried to get help. You mentioned going to meetings with him. Did any of that help?
For periods, yes. He would go through periods where you know, he'd stopped gambling. But the insidious nature of gambling in Australia, both sports betting and poker machines, just meant the availability was such and he was hounded as such that he couldn't get away from it.
How do you reflect on that now? Like that story of your teacher going through this addiction and you and your friends as a teenager and, you know, after leaving school, doing what you could to help him?
Yeah, I felt helpless. This was a man I respected. I counted as a friend. You almost feel absolutely helpless to help them. Now when I meet victims, I meet mothers talking about their sons who they want to help. I meet wives talking about their husbands or husbands talking about their wives. And I hear them talking about the helplessness and despair they have to try and help people in the grips of this addiction. And I can really empathize with them having lived that experience myself. And I felt hopeless. And what empowers me now is I'm in federal parliament. We have an opportunity to stop this kind of harm and help countless number of Australians. And it's so bad in Australia. We literally have the worst outcomes in the world. Not we're in the bottom quartile, not we're in the bottom 10%. We are the worst in the world.
Did this experience change the way you felt about gambling? As in, have you been much of a gambler yourself? Are you dead against gambling altogether?
No, look, it's funny. I've always enjoyed risk in life, and whether that's gambling, venture capital, sport, travel, but I never had a problem. I remember even in playing poker nights at school, we had the Liberal Party Federal Conference 3 or 4 weeks ago in Melbourne, and I went on Crown Casino, sat at the blackjack tables and took a couple $100 and yeah, so I've always dabbled in it, but I'm not anti-gambling. What I'm anti is these ads that are focused on kids. When my son, I just came back from the Soccer World Cup in the US. I took my son there. We would have watched 20 games and not seen an ad. In South Carolina, you can open carry an AK-47, but you can't see a gambling ad on the TV. You don't see them. And we watched 20 games on TV in most of them in Seattle. I didn't see a single ad. Now, he, on his first day back on Friday, watched Australia play Paraguay. And about 20 minutes before that game started, there's a Bet365 ad walking through the odds, and it's children who are being exposed to this. And even in our party room, MPs are coming up and saying, oh, our children are all talking about the odds, or my mates, MPs who have kids over 18, all of them have gambling. Not one person in that party room that I've spoken to hasn't met someone who's had some problem with gambling or had a friend of their family. Yeah, it's just something we need to address, and it's a national shame.
We definitely have a lot of people feeling strongly about this. On the text line now, someone says, seems crazy that the government would prioritise the under 16 social media ban over a gambling ad ban. Another person saying, I had no idea that there was an opt-out for gambling ads on SBS. Just ban them all. If someone wants to gamble, they'll find their way to it. Yeah, I think SBS introduced this last year and is among the first broadcasters in the world, actually, to introduce this measure to give people the opportunity to opt out of certain advertising categories. We've got James on the line with us now. James, what's your experience? Have you witnessed gambling addiction firsthand?
Yeah, hi, mate. Look, I have. I've experienced it with friends, with family. Going back to the other bloke there about his boss, you know, my boss used to borrow money off me to get home in the mornings, and then the following week he'd be flush and he'd be buying my groceries, and then the following week he'd be down again. So I've had mates lie to me, tell me they're at work when they're at the tab, you know, and I've driven past the tab, seen their car out there, gone in, thrown a chair at them. It's just, I'm sorry, but it's just bullshit. There should be no ads, just like tobacco. There's no ads for tobacco. There's no branding on the cars, on the F1s. There's no branding on anyone. There should be nothing for gambling. Like someone just said, a gambler will find their way to it. We don't need to advertise it for the kids, for people that are susceptible to it. I just think the government started something and it's okay, but there seems to be a hell of a lot more required.
All right, Jack. James, thank you so much for sharing that with us. A lot of experiences similar to this. People with a different opinion, though, someone saying, look, it's really easy to turn around and say not good enough, but we need to make a change and, you know, open the door to further expand on the policies and hopefully work towards getting something right down the track. This is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese speaking with Liberal backbencher Simon Kennedy. He's one of the Coalition MPs speaking out about the government's gambling ad reforms, which it's introducing to Parliament this week. Simon Kennedy, you're saying change is needed. You won't say whether you think that there does need to be a full gambling ad ban. The Coalition has some power here because, as we heard Evelyn say before, the government either needs the support of the Greens or you guys. So what is the Coalition going to do? Like, if you've got this power, will you use it or will the Coalition wave these measures through?
I don't think anyone will wave these reforms through in their current form. I think they need to be strengthened. There's a number of ways which you could strengthen them, but they have to be strengthened. One thing I've seen with this government, if you've got a lobbyist, you can get an outcome. In these reforms, you know, it used to be you couldn't run ads. There was up to 5 minutes before game time. Well, that's gone. We've seen with this Prime Minister, if you've got lobbyists, you can get a carve out. We've seen gambling lobbyists, TV network lobbyists walking up and down these halls. We've seen with the CGT tax reforms, tech lobbyists coming here and getting reforms. The people who don't have lobbyists in these buildings are the people like my teacher or those gambling anonymous victims or the families of the suicide victims I've spoken to.
So are you saying the
Our job's to be that lobbyist.
Sorry, are you saying you think the gambling industry is being put ahead of the well-being of Australians?
I do.
And what would you like to see change?
I think at a minimum you need to give people choice. People who don't want to see the ads should be protected from seeing those ads. Kids who have no choice tuning in before a sports game's about to start shouldn't be subject to those ads. Inducements, where gambling companies hound people, giving them free promotions or free bets, they should be able to, there should be a very clear choice when they start. Do they want to receive those or not? At a very minimum, you've got to give people choice because the surveys I see and the people I speak to on the street, they don't want to see these ads. So those people who don't want to see them should have options to not to see them at the very least.
We heard from the Liberal Party's deputy leader, Jane Hume, yesterday, who was asked about these reforms and said, look, they're a move in the right direction. Is that an indicator that the Liberal Party will ultimately vote for this to happen?
Oh, look, I can't speak for what Jane is saying, but what I, if I had to hazard a guess, it's great we're finally doing something on gambling. I think what's clearer is we can go further.
Will you be disappointed if Angus Taylor doesn't come out strongly against what the government is proposing here?
I am confident we will be able to go further and push the government further than they currently have gone.
Do you think there should be a conscience vote on this so politicians are free to vote how they really feel?
I would love to see the Prime Minister do that, but I'm sure he won't because he's terrified by his backbench. I have spoken to countless Labor backbenchers who are embarrassed about how long it took them to respond to the Murphy Report, 3 years, a bipartisan report. They're embarrassed about the current strength of these gambling reforms. And I think the Prime Minister would never allow that because it would disappoint the lobbyists who've courted him. And so, unfortunately, I think we'll never see that.
There are people who are genuinely interested in this because the research shows that the broader Australian public supports a ban on gambling advertising. A lot of people say that this is a really good idea. We know it was a recommendation of the Murphy Inquiry. Why is it then that other politicians feel uncomfortable talking up about this, not just from the government, but across the board?
Oh, look, you'd have to ask them. But look, the one thing I would say, if there's hardcore gambling people who enjoy it and like a punt and have it controlled and they want to get bonus bets or ads on it or live odds, I don't have a problem with that. I'm pretty libertarian where if people want to have access to that, they're over 18, they're consenting adults. But people who don't want to have access to that need to have an option to stop getting access to that, particularly online. And the technology exists to do this. I think we should be looking into that. In terms of other politicians, you'd have to ask them. But I repeat, there are gambling lobbyists who walk these hallways. There are TV lobbyists who walk these hallways. Who doesn't have lobbyists? The victims. The everyday Australians, the people like my teacher, the people who are at Gamblers Anonymous, the school kids who are being subjected to these, The job of my party and me and the Liberal Party is to stand up for those families and act as their voice and act as their lobbyist. That's what we've been elected to do, and that's what I plan on doing.
Do you have your party's support to speak out like this, Simon Kennedy? Because it's no small thing to come and have a chat about stuff like this.
Oh, these are my personal views. I've shared these views with the party room, and I'm confident that Angus Taylor and Sarah Henderson will look to strengthen these laws. I'm confident of that, and there's a process underway. I'm not boxing us into any sort of policy. This is something I personally believe in, and there's a process underway. And I think what your listeners need to know is the Prime Minister is captured on this issue. The Liberal Party is standing up for young people, standing up for families, and standing up for victims, and we will continue to strengthen those laws.
Liberal MP Simon Kennedy, really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
And still so many messages coming through. Someone says, when I turned 18, my dad asked me to open multiple betting accounts in my name as he'd been banned. It wasn't until I was older that I realised he had a gambling addiction and I'd been used. Another person saying, I work at Headspace. My job is to run screen addiction and gambling harm minimisation programs. I think we need more education programs in school because gambling addiction can start with screen addiction. Another person says, where do we draw the line though? What about Melbourne Cup? And someone else saying, we should not normalise gambling with ads. It's not chill. I've seen it ruin a life. Look, if you do need support, remember Lifeline is always there on 13 11 14. There's also specialised gambling support services available as well.
Hack.
Producers say challenging economic conditions forced them to axe the Sydney run.
Sometimes the show just can't go on.
On Triple J.
When was the last time you went to the theatre? And I'm not talking about the movie theatre, the cinema. I'm talking about stage performances like the ballet, musicals, a play. Because a bunch of big shows are getting cancelled in Australia, and it's got a lot of people questioning whether this is a deeper crisis that's only going to get a lot worse. I'd love to hear why you think the Australian theatre scene is taking such a hit. Is it because people just can't afford it, or people are losing interest? 0439757555. Arianna Lucente has been looking into it.
I was sobbing, screaming. It was amazing.
It was hilarious and emotional and beautiful.
For the past 2 months, Waitress the Musical has been showing at Her Majesty's Theatre in Melbourne. It's about a young woman, a waitress, trapped in a small town. And Natalie Bassingthwaite and Rob Mills lead the Aussie cast. But if you are hoping to see it next month in Sydney, bad news. Waitress is cancelling its Sydney shows, meaning the Aussie tour will finish up in Melbourne in a few weeks' time.
It's just devastating, and I think speaks to just how insecure and dire our industry is.
It's not the only musical to cancel shows recently.
Beetlejuice! It's showtime!
This month, it was announced Beetlejuice the Musical was getting cancelled too, during its Brisbane leg. All shows in Sydney, Perth and Adelaide were canned. Here's Eric Lassen from Live Performance Australia.
These two that were recently cancelled, Beetlejuice and Waitress, are terrific shows. They were Tony Award-winning shows that had great runs in other jurisdictions.
The list doesn't end there. Back to the Future, the musical, ended its Aussie run in Sydney back in January after producers canned a national tour.
But Doc, what if it doesn't work?
What?
Doc!
Then, Marty, the future of musical theatre will never arrive.
The musical Dear Evan Hansen cancelled its Canberra and Adelaide seasons early last year. And the Italian opera Aida, which was meant to show at Adelaide Festival next year, is also out because of rising costs.
So how much has been lost in the planning of Aida?
Approximately $2 million.
So what is going on?
We really do think it's this unique pressure that we're facing here in Australia that's causing some of those challenges.
Eric Lassen from Live Performance Australia says money is tough for both producers and audiences.
We see producers that are experiencing rising costs of both production and touring. And then, of course, on the other side of the ledger, you have the squeeze on household budget.
Taking musicals on the road, especially now, is expensive.
Really everything from set production, costume design, most significantly the cost of freight.
It's why cities like Perth and Adelaide often get left off the bill. But even for people going to those Melbourne and Sydney shows, the ticket prices...
Yeah, we do have to save it up.
It was $190 each. Yeah, and that's on the lower end of musical theatre tickets as well.
Audiences still want to go to shows. They still want that good time out.
but they don't have as much disposable income.
Andun from Sydney Theatre Company says those rising costs aren't always reflected in tickets.
We can't always push prices through to audiences. It would make tickets unaffordable.
And she says some shows like The Lion King might not struggle.
Familiar known titles often do appeal.
Landing a job on a musical can be some sense of security.
Erin Madeley, CEO of MEAA, the Media, Entertainment and Arts Union, says it's already challenging making a living in this industry.
I mean, it's devastating for the cast, the crew, the musicians, the workers that really are in such an insecure workforce to begin with.
Hundreds of people will now be out of work because of the cancellations. So what does this spell for the future of Australian theatre? The union and performer Tim Minchin says it's time for the government to step in.
You know, I want to be part of telling a story about a potential culture in which, despite the imposition of digital technology, we still go out lots. We go to see bands, we go to see theatre, we have big musicals.
Hack on Triple J.
Arianna Lucente reporting there. Look, let's get into this a little more now because there's a lot of interest on the text line. Someone's saying it's not so much that young people aren't going to the theatre, it's that many don't know that the theatre exists, but it's also really expensive. Another person saying Beetlejuice was amazing, targeted to a younger audience that just doesn't have enough disposable income for live events like this. That's interesting. Let's go to Jack Ward, who's host of the Encore podcast, talks about theatre productions in general. G'day, Jack. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
What do you think we're seeing these massive shows cancelling legs of their tour and closing early?
Much like that text message, I think it comes down to money. I mean, like everyone is struggling to put groceries on the table, let alone having money to throw at a big show like Waitress or Beetlejuice with tickets costing over $100 each. And then if you take the whole family, it can often get up to $1,000. And people just don't have that money, unfortunately, at the moment. And we saw it after COVID. The theatre industry was booming. It was 2023. We had shows everywhere. People had been sitting on the couch and wanted to get out and about. But now the realities of the cost of living crisis we're living through, I think, is catching up, unfortunately, with the arts industry.
Okay, so you don't think that it is the case that younger generations maybe are just not as engaged in some of these older live entertainment forms like the ballet or theatre? You don't agree with Timothy Chalamet saying they're a bit redundant?
No, I do not agree with Timothy Chalamet. In fact, I think young people are just as invested as the older audiences, particularly with these newer shows like Beetlejuice and Waitress. There are young people that are going to these shows that can afford it dozens of times, in fact, because they're that fanatic about it. But particularly with our podcast audience, I mean, most people that listen to the Encore podcast are between 20 and 30. They're that younger audience that are wanting to get into theatre. But particularly, I think that's the demographic where perhaps the least amount of money is at the moment.
We've got a lot of messages coming through on this, Jack, as I'm sure you can imagine. Someone says, I had tickets to Waitress in Sydney and I'm gutted that it's cancelled. I reckon it was cancelled because of the poor casting choices, leading to a lack of ticket sales as well as all of the economic pressures. Another person saying the government doesn't value the entertainment industry and doesn't invest much, if anything, into it. And someone else saying, you can't get a TikTok clip from a show like you can from a concert. People don't deem it worth the money. Entertainment's turning into a social exchange. The value of a photo showing you were there determines if the ticket is worth it. That's an interesting point. Mm. Do you think that could have something to do with it, Jack, that people maybe can't, you know, show off as much on social media about where they've been and share that experience with others on who follow them?
Look, there's still the opportunity to the theatre show to take that phone out at the end when the bows are on or for that last number. And I think we've seen that particularly with Six, the musical, which is coming back to a number of capital cities later this year. And they do the Mega Six at the end, which is an opportunity for people to get out their phones. But I think traditionally too in Australia, when it comes to publicity and the marketing of shows, it has been tailored to more traditional media forms and perhaps not so much on social media. And people probably aren't seeing it as much on social media. So I certainly think that that is an area of improvement. And when it comes to the point you make too about casting on Waitress, there has certainly been some differing opinions on that. But I would say that the average ticket buyer probably isn't tuned into that as much as other people would be, and perhaps the real big fans of Waitress would be. So I doubt that that is probably a reason that we've seen it cancelled early.
Really interesting stuff. Jack Ward from the Encore podcast. Really appreciate you coming on and explaining some of that to us.
Cheers, Dave. Good time.
And we've got a lot of messages still coming through on this. Someone's saying, I loved Waitress, but I didn't really like the cast. they need someone new. So someone may be disagreeing with what Jack had to say there. Another person saying people can afford hundreds of dollars to go see a live concert. A musical is much more special. You can't just stream it on Spotify. I personally don't understand why people cannot afford musicals when they can afford other things. Another person saying demographics, boomers aging, theatre, opera, ballet dying. And someone else saying, who can afford to go to theatre? Like, it's the same with the music industry. No one can afford to go. We all do want to go, but it's the financials that are keeping us back, which, yeah, is something that we're hearing time after time. So there you go. A lot of love for the theatre on the text line today. That is all we've got time for on Hack for now.